Now, 22 minutes past six, it's Monday evening, time to have a look at a few technology stories that have been making the news with Febzi Turgaup, who's the gadget detective. And we'll start off with Facebook, which has been in the news today. The Guardian saying it's seen internal documents which show how it censors what its users see, or in some cases doesn't censor what its users see. Febzi, how much pressure has Facebook been under to improve moderation?
Well, it's been under a lot of pressure. There have been obviously a number of high-profile cases where they've allowed, for example, live suicides to be broadcast, and you know, various problems with posts, hate speech, racist content, sexual content, support of terrorism, those sorts of issues. And it's come to light that there are over 100 internal handbooks that try to teach moderators how to make decisions about how to achieve that balance between, on the one hand, freedom of speech, on the other hand, going too far and needing to be censored. For broadcasters, there are things like Ofcom that set those sorts of guidelines. Facebook's having to do it itself, not least because Facebook continues to insist that it is not a media outlet in the way that, you know, broadcasters and magazines and newspapers are, and therefore is not really responsible for its content in the same way. They like to present themselves more like a conduit, more like British Telecom would be a conduit of what flows over its wires. So they're having to do this sort of thing internally. They've got thousands of people doing it, but even then, and even using artificial intelligence to maybe flag up some posts in the first instance, they're only getting a few seconds to make each decision.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many posts being made on Facebook at any given time with these millions and millions of users, some of whom may put some pretty unpleasant stuff on. Is it something they're ever going to conquer?
Well, I think the way it's going to have to go, given they've got 2 billion users, many of whom are very active.
Febzi, I'm terribly sorry. We're losing you in a load. I don't know if you're disappearing into your own computer, but we're just losing you for moments there and a losing sense of... Have you come back? Let me just try and see if you've restored yourself.
I'm here.
We need to reboot our technology expert. This is a very bad sign.
I don't know what's happened.
There we are. Let's see if you can manage not to disappear. Facebook, is it an impossible task?
Yeah, so what they're going to have to do is use more artificial intelligence. So they'll cut humans out of the equation altogether, and they'll have artificial intelligence algorithms running to make those decisions. And at least they will be consistent.
Well, let's see how that goes on. And meanwhile, Google have had a developer conference, its annual developer conference, which included news of a few projects that Google are working on. Obviously, the end game is total control of everything in the world ever. It'll take them a while to get to that, but in the meantime, what are they doing?
Yeah, not that long, I suspect. Well, almost everything that they've announced is based around the application of artificial intelligence or machine learning. So first of all, there's something called Google Lens, which is an app that runs on a smartphone, and it can recognize the objects that you point it at with the camera's lens. So it for the first time, can understand. So for example, you point it at a flower, it will not only tell you that's a flower, it will tell you what sort of flower. If you point it, for example, at the sticker underneath a Wi-Fi router when you're trying to set up your home Wi-Fi, it will understand what it's looking at and automatically set up your Wi-Fi for you. Equally, if you point it at a restaurant, it will give you instant reviews, copies of the menus. If the menus are not in English, it will translate them in real time. So that sort of thing from Google Lens is pretty impressive, I think. Also, it has the ability to understand the photos that it's looking at. So your Google photo collection, it will sort through them. It will recognize, for example, that there's a birthday cake in that picture and understand that this is a birthday party, and group together all the pictures of the birthday party, recognize the people in the pictures, and offer to send them copies. So that sort of, there's a lot to this. And also Google Home, which is their equivalent of Amazon's Alexa. So Google Home is getting smarter. This is the speaker that you speak to and it replies to you. Now, one of the ways in which it's going to improve is it's going to be proactive. At the moment, like Alexa, you can ask it questions such as, what's the traffic like? With Google Home, because it's got a copy of your calendar in Google Calendar, it understands. Imagine a human personal assistant that knows everything about you and can anticipate your every move. How useful would that be? And also, how creepy is it when it's a machine? But what it can do is it can say, you don't have to ask the question. It can know that you're planning to be somewhere in an hour and 15 minutes time, but it notices that the traffic en route is rather bad. You haven't looked it up yet, but it's noticed it. So it advises you to say, you know, you're going to have to leave a bit earlier than you anticipated. That sort of thing, that sort of smart technology is coming. And on the one hand, useful. On the other hand, creepy and dangerous. Take your pick.
And just finally, a quick new gadget review. What's the most exciting gadget you've seen in the last week?
Oh, well, the most interesting one is from a company called Omron, O-M-R-O-N. They make medical appliances. When you go to your doctor, most blood pressure monitors are made by them. They've done this thermometer for home use called Gentle Temp 720, and it allows you to take the temperature of a loved one, typically a child, without having to disturb them. It's contactless, so no thermometer under the arm or in the mouth or anywhere else. You just point it at their forehead 1 to 3 centimeters away. It instantaneously takes a reading and tells you accurately what the temperature is. It also has a couple of other tricks, which is unusual for these sorts of devices. One of them is it will just tell you the ambient temperature in your room by default at any time. So when you pick it up, it'll tell you what the room temperature is, but also other surfaces. So if, for example, you're giving a loved one a hot drink, maybe they've let it go cold and you've microwaved it and you don't know if it's too hot or too cold, you just point the thermometer at it and it will tell you the temperature of the liquid.
However did we manage without Febzy Tokol, the gadget detective? Thank you. You see, in my primitive world, if I want to know if the drink's too hot, I kind of approach it with caution. I lean in like this. I approach it with my lips and I go...
Too hot.
How will you wake up tomorrow? Half asleep,